Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. As we continue the season of Epiphany, our readings are taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, and Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. We continue our series entitled Talking Jesus, which will be followed up in our small groups as well as a weekly Zoom meeting to which all are welcome. Login details can be found on our Facebook page and our website. The talk today is by Mike Gillingham, a lay reader at St. James, entitled Let Your Light Shine Before Others.
This reading is Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Jesus is speaking about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And this is the beginning of Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, where he talks about spiritual blessings. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is his plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sorry, just a little spoiler for this afternoon, if you haven't been there already. But just to say, if I am a wise one, you'll find out later, perhaps, it's because I put on God's word like a gown. And so long as I stick within God's word, I am wise. Seek his wisdom. Now, some of us remember when in this building, and so many others, we used the 1662 prayer book. And while it has many quotations from the Bible and is really serious, I can't help but think there was a bit of a chuckle as this verse was put in, or at least where it was placed. And in case you cannot read it, this verse that we say today as our special verse for today is placed just before the collection. And I have to say that although I agree with those who say that the last piece of any person's body to be converted is their purse or their wallet, and becoming a Christian should certainly influence our spending and giving, we are told to give in secret rather than anywhere everybody can see. Although I wonder what would happen if your tax affairs were published like Matt Hancock's. His meanness didn't shine a light at all on him, and our giving should shine. Although, as I say, financial giving, that's a matter between us and God. So, what does this verse mean to our daily lives? First of all, it is to our daily lives. Every day, every moment. And that's quite a challenge. Let's go through this short passage together. What is salt good for? You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. What was salt used for? What is salt used for? Well, two things: to add flavor and to preserve food. Most of us will have salt on our tables to add to the food. And it really does make things tastier. If you've ever been eating with anybody who is avoiding salt in their diet because of blood problems or whatever, you will know that it's really fairly bland and tasteless. We should be making life really enjoyable for everybody, but we're too often seen as killjoys. Some of you remember the film Chariots of Fire. One of the characters was a Scottish Christian, Eric Liddell. In the film, as in real life, he refused to run on a Sunday. At one time, every church had the Ten Commandments somewhere on the walls, full of thou shalt nots. Well, I want to say two things about Eric Liddell. Firstly, should we as Christians actually be campaigning for people to have a day off? It's truly terrible that some people are working 7 days a week just to make ends meet. Sorry to be controversial, but I can't help it. Right. Secondly, most people don't know what happened to Eric Liddell after Chariots of Fire days. He became a missionary in China, and there he was imprisoned along with a lot of other people. And in that prison camp, he organised sports for the children on a Sunday to improve their lives because there was no other time he could do it. They were slave labour, basically. And he actually did that to improve somebody's lives, to add salt to it. It wasn't a killjoy attitude of his. It was something to enrich life. And we must be concerned to improve the lives of those around us so they're not merely surviving, but everything tastes good. Are we making lives taste good? I wonder how many people remember this. My parents had an allotment, and on an evening we would go out and we would pick beans. Now, there were huge rows of beans, and we had far too many. And in those days, no freezers. So what we did was put them in a jar with salt. How many people remember salting beans? Oh, good. Yes. Yeah, I'm getting on a bit, aren't I? But it made the beans keep. Now, this may seem strange, especially if you have a knowledge of chemistry. But you must remember, they were not dealing with our refined salt. Our salt, if you've got refined salt, will never lose its saltiness. But they weren't dealing with that. Their salt came from the Dead Sea. It was a mixture of various chemicals, and because of that, it was deliquescent. Well, if you get a science teacher to give you a sermon, deliquescent means that it absorbs water. And some of these, if you leave Dead Sea salt around, it will absorb water, and the first thing that gets washed out is the salt. And what's left behind may be various chemicals that, even perhaps some of them good for you, they don't taste nice. So that salt can lose its saltiness. We must never lose our saltiness. We must preserve this world. We have a duty to shine and to preserve the good in this world. That's a famous saying, and nobody knows who said it. It's been attributed to quite a few different people, but they didn't say it, so nobody knows. But it's true, isn't it? Only one thing necessary for evil to triumph in the world is that good men do nothing. Sorry about the men, but if you, women as well, if we do nothing and let things go bad and rotten, we aren't salting our world. Mother Teresa challenged the thoughtless lack of care for orphans in India. She was not always thanked for that because it showed up the lack of care of the majority. And sometimes, and in some quarters, she was hated. But how her light shone, how she salted that country. Saltiness may take the form of a protest. I think it's great that Christians were in the forefront of the civil rights movement. As we're communists, we may have strange bedfellows as we seek to do good, but we must be out there, seeing that our world doesn't go rotten. It's good that in this country, Christians were at the forefront of the Anti-Slavery League. Many talents were called for, including pottery. Josiah Wedgwood, a Unitarian, joined with Christians. And if you go to Killerton, you will see one of his medallions in support of the Anti-Slavery League. They too were Christians, the family who were in charge of Killerton House near Exeter. And it's great that they were involved in this. Your part may involve different talents. We're none of us in Parliament, unfortunately. but we must make a difference. We are to be obvious like a town on a hill. There is a problem, let me warn you. Towns on hills are vulnerable. Everyone can see them. It's no accident that this town has a wall that goes right round it. In Britain, some towns were hidden because they feared Vikings coming along, or in later times, slave traders coming along and raiding them. So they would hide the town behind some hills and make sure nothing showed. If you and I do good, sometimes it will lead to us being hated. It's a price we have to pay. It's a price Jesus paid, wasn't it? It's a price we pay. But be brave. And so we come to our key text. Let your light shine before others, that they may see you. They may see your good deeds, yes, and glorify your Father in heaven. We have so much light in our present day that we fail to realize what it's like to be in darkness. The only time I've ever experienced it is in caves. When I took this picture, my friends had turned, well, we'd all turned off our lights, and that's taken by flash. But if you, as soon as the flash had gone, it was pitch black. Nothing. You could put your hand here and you can't see a thing. A little light shines in the darkness. We've got a torch. Now, what's a torch for? Think about it a minute. Is it to say, oh, what a pretty light? No, it's for shining on things so that we can see. And that's what we're meant to be like. We're meant to be torches, illuminating things for people to see, illuminating what our Father in heaven is doing. A little light goes a long way. I can't take out a torch that shines darkness to you. Light overcomes darkness. A little light goes a long way. Flatholme Lighthouse is easily seen from Weston-super-Mare, many miles away. Oops. That isn't Flatholme, sorry. But I haven't got a photograph of Flatholme, so I've used one of South Stack in North Wales. They are important. They can be seen for miles. And what we do will shine. And what we do will vary according to our talents. I'm really glad that this church is deeply involved in Besom, or Besom, whichever it is. And also chaplaincy and Open Door. And I'm not going to give a complete list because I would leave somebody out. And each of us should be involved in something, whatever your light may be. It may just be that you smile at people. That improves their lives. That gives them a lift. And it glorifies our Father in heaven. If you have somebody scowling and always miserable, and they're telling you about the joy of Jesus, that's not good, is it? So simple things can sometimes shine that light. And as I say, every day, every moment. But we had two readings. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Do you remember at school, two captains choosing their teams? Were you first to be chosen or last? I was somewhere in the middle. I had friends who were sometimes captains, so not always last, but nobody chose me for my sporting ability. Before the creation of the world, we were chosen. Not at the last minute, way before we were even thought of. And not only that, we have been given another helper. When you believed, you were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us to help us do things that we ordinarily couldn't. I can't imagine writing that hymn in those circumstances without the help of the Holy Spirit. And not just that, but God has not just forgiven us, but the riches of God's grace have been lavished on us. I love that word, lavished. Now, if you go somewhere and you're given a little tiny plate of food, you think, oh. But God has lavished his gifts on us. So, lights, go and shine. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for all the gifts you have lavished on us. We thank you that we have so much to point to shine our torches on as we live for you. Lord, we pray that we may go from here and add flavor to our world and preserve it from evil and shine a light on you. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.